From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made on April 2nd, when another candidate for mayor of Rochester announced their intentions to be in the race. And this time, it's Lori Thomas. She is now a retired school teacher who has spent a lot of time thinking about education, working in education, been very active, and she has a lot to say about what the next mayor needs to do regarding home ownership, education, when it comes to development, job creation, when it comes to policing, community relations, and more. This is our second round of interviews with the candidates for mayor of Rochester. Earlier this week, you heard Democrat Rachel Barnhart talking about her views. We're going to be having all of the candidates back for a second round, and we hope a third round. But right now, it's our second chance to sit down with Lori Thomas, and it's great to have you back here. How are you?
Thank you. I'm fine, thank you, and it's great to be back.
You've expressed some frustration, and let's just start right here. I know you listened to what Rachel Barnhart had to say on this program, and there was something specific that you did not appreciate.
Well, I don't appreciate the fact that the Democratic candidates are discounting the rest of us who are running for mayor. I think that we offer viable solutions to what the party offers and that they should acknowledge the fact that they do have competition outside of those in the Democratic Party.
Are you surprised at that, though?
Not at all. They are believing that they are the only party that can win in Rochester.
Well, historically, that's been pretty true.
That's been very true, but historically isn't working anymore for the people. And the people are looking outside of history, I should say party politics in history, for a better solution.
All right, so before we kind of work issue by issue, recent news events and the issues in your platform, you just said historically isn't working anymore in Rochester. So what would you define for voters as, you know, sort of the big picture things that you think are not working in this city?
Well, we've been ensconced in poverty for decades. We've had a failing education system in Rochester for decades. So obviously what the Democrats have been putting forth as far as policy and politics is not working in Rochester. So they as a party, don't have the solutions, or they are purposefully keeping those situations alive.
Purposefully.
That's,
man, that's a very strong charge, isn't it?
It is very strong, but failure fuels funding in municipal government. You don't get more money for your budget unless you fail and need more.
But you don't think Mayor Warren wants people to be in poverty, do you?
I don't think Mayor Warren wants people to be in poverty. However, the way the Democratic Party works, and she works for the Democratic Party, not necessarily for the people. That's what we're looking at.
Okay. And I think it's possible, and I don't want to speak for the mayor, but she might say, look, she came into office 2014, poverty at remarkable levels. Nobody thinks that's changing in 1 year or 18 months or 2 years, and that she believes her policies have put us on a track to do the long-term work that will be required, and that it could take 5 to 10 to 20 years, and that it could take multiple mayoral administrations, but she thinks she's putting us back on that path there. You don't see it.
Well, saying that we have to look that far out scares me, because we're talking about more decades of poverty. I believe that it's not going to be done in 4 years, but I think more could have been done in 4 years than has been done because of the tax breaks that have been given to corporations, because of affordable housing that's been built instead of reaching out to members of the community for home ownership, for personal home ownership. I think that there are other areas of business, small businesses that could have been supported, and to increase home ownership in Rochester, to increase businesses in Rochester. I think the safety standards in Rochester could have been worked upon more effectively. So the things that have been done have been mildly effective, but I think more can be done to be more successful.
You're the first that I've heard critical of affordable housing, saying that affordable housing instead of aggressive plans for home ownership seems to be a mistake. So tell me about why.
Not necessarily a mistake, just a difference. And the reason is because affordable housing is only, it only supports the individual that owns the home, the housing. It doesn't support the individual paying rent. It keeps the individual paying rent in poverty, because we all know you pay three times more for rent than you would if you had a mortgage. So, And there's no equity in the rent that you're paying. You're not receiving any equity in that whatsoever. So you never get out from underneath of paying rent. It's only affordable to those who own the property. So we need more individual property ownership in order to come out from underneath of poverty.
All right, so what are we going to do to get there?
Well, one of my plans, again, is community co-ops. We put people in their homes. We give them the opportunity to have a hydroponic greenhouse, to have city hives, bees, to raise bees. We have give them the opportunity to live what their gift and talent is, whether it is be making clothing or whatever, but to build that community co-op so that they can pay their rent, pay their taxes, and work together to lift each other out of poverty. Another situation that this solves is if you're working out of your home, you don't have to worry about daycare, which means that, well, the average person in Rochester makes approximately $12 an hour. Daycare in Rochester is $17 an hour. You can't afford to go to work in Rochester if you have children. Community co-ops give you the opportunity to live at home, work at home, make a sustainable income at home, and take care of your children at home as well.
Are there examples of where this works elsewhere?
There are examples of where this works in rural communities, in larger city communities. Ohio, I believe, has a community co-op. The mayor has brought community co-ops to Rochester,
right,
but they're not community run. In other words, they're co-ops where people go out and work for businesses, and that's not a community co-op. A community co-op is where people work for themselves. They create a market for their particular ware, let's say, okay, and they work together to sell that. Some Monroe Avenue co-op has been in business for decades. That is a working example.
Why do you think people have a hard time getting their heads around this? You know, why hasn't this happened?
It hasn't been supported. It hasn't happened because it's not widely supported, not by the government.
Does that mean it's a bad idea?
No, it doesn't mean it's a bad idea. It just means it's not conducive to corporate profits.
We're talking to Lori Thomas, who is running for mayor of Rochester. You got thoughts and questions or comments you want to share? It's 844-295-TALK. That's toll free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. So if Mayor Warren said, Lori, come in the room, we're gonna do one thing differently, and I'll do whatever you think we should do to make this city better, what would you tell her then?
Believe in the people and the suggestions that they have for their community. And while she has opened City Hall to the people, she has not opened the government to the people. So what do I mean when I say that? People have good ideas for what should happen, but those good ideas, if they don't go along with that thought of the Democratic Party, they're just ignored. And so many people have been telling me that, and I've experienced that myself.
Well, when it comes to interaction with the Democratic Party, I happened to be out this morning and bumped into a couple of different candidates for local office. I won't mention who they were because these were private conversations. Both of them expressed to me frustration that because they haven't, quote, paid their dues, they're not getting any support from the Democratic Party, that the Democratic Party is more interested in, you know, how many envelopes you've stuffed over how many years, and have you been in line, and have you waited your turn, and then maybe you can get called to the front, as opposed to saying who has the best ideas, who is going to generate the best and most effective change right now. Do you agree with that criticism?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not only that, but if you're not a member of the Democratic Party, you're shunned completely. There have been instances when I have gone before certain groups and presented ideas for children in low-income neighborhoods. And once they found out that I wasn't a Democrat, I was just totally pushed back and ignored. And that's detrimental to everyone. That's detrimental to the community when you don't want to hear anything that doesn't come from an active Democrat.
In other words, it sounds like your concern is that the party structure is more concerned with winning political games than actually better ideas.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we see that at local government, state government, and federal government. I mean, right now, we have a federal government who's moving back and forth trying to win seats, not trying to work for the people, but trying to win seats in Congress and Senate. I mean, it's time-wasting and it's tax dollar wasting.
Lori Thomas announced her candidacy on April 2nd. She's my guest for the hour, running for mayor of Rochester. I never am sure if this is a fair question, but I will ask it, and you can tell me if it's unfair. Why not run for city council? Why go straight to the top at mayor? Is that unfair to ask?
It's not unfair to ask. I think that it's a reasonable question, but you have to understand that as running for city council, you are a member of a team, and that team, when you come in at the, it's like last hired, first fired kind of mm-hmm. thing. When you come into that team, you have to spend years moving up the ladder of that team in order to have your ideas become relevant suggestions. As mayor, it's more of a situation where I can do more because of that position than if I had to work with a team of people who are opposing me simply because of my, number one, independent status, and number two, my relative youth in the council or on the council.
If you're on city council, there's enough of them, they can just ignore you.
Exactly. And that's what we see at our school board as well.
All right, talking to Lori Thomas, 844-295-TALK, toll-free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. Before we move on to some other issues on the subject of home ownership, the values of getting people to be owners, to be part of a community, are you concerned about gentrification in the city? I mean, do you see it happening?
It happens. It's happened in the past, and it'll happen again. When property values go up, people will move into the city. When property values go down, people will move out of the city. What we have to do as a community is make sure that the property values stay constant enough to be able to support our government, but not so much that we are living in poverty. Right now, people have to go out of the city in order to enjoy malls, in order to enjoy activities, fun activities. We need to bring those things back into the people of Rochester. We need to be able to trust the people of Rochester that we can have a movie theater down here. There used to be four movie theaters downtown. Now there's not even one. You've got to catch a bus out to the suburbs in order to see a movie. That's not community friendly. We need to make Rochester a community friendly place for everyone that lives here, not for just people who have money that live here.
Do we, the question I'm about to ask, I know the mayor would say no. Do we focus too much on downtown and not the neighborhoods? I ask that because what you're describing, movie theaters downtown, probably grocery stores, opportunities to either be to access entertainment or basic needs. You know, neighborhoods need those, not just downtown. And the Warren administration has said they have been very focused on the neighborhoods, that there's a lot that's happening, that they are meeting with neighbors, that they're listening to concerns, that they're trying to see development in neighborhoods. Do you believe that's true, or do you see most of the effort downtown as opposed to neighborhoods?
No, I see the effort being made in the neighborhoods, okay. But not, once again, there's that whole affordable housing thing that's going up on Hudson Avenue, East Main Street. That's not the type of neighborhood that I want to see created. I mean, we tried that back in the 60s with the projects over off of Joseph Avenue, I believe they were. That's not the type of neighborhood that we want to see. We want to see neighborhoods where people take responsibility and are proud of where they live because they own their home. They keep their home up. They keep their property in.
Renters can be proud too, though, can't they?
Renters can be proud, but when you live in a high rise or when you live in an apartment complex where you can't get the services that you need because more money is being taken out of the property than put into the property, you're not so much going to be proud of that.
Is gentrification always a bad thing?
No. No, people move in and out of cities. This is America. I've always said, and I've said this more than once, this is America. People should move and live where they want to.
And your family did.
Absolutely.
Yeah, remind listeners your family path.
Well, we're from Batavia, Leroy, Avon, Pavilion, that area. And my mother moved us to the city because there was more job opportunities here. I love the country. I think there's a huge difference between the country mindset and the city mindset.
Ooh, what do you mean by that?
The country mindset, I think, is more attuned to the way life is lived than in the city. One of the things that I found when I became a teacher is in asking children where milk comes from, they say Wegmans. So there's not that connection to nature and life for children that grew up in the city than there is with children who grow up and live in the country. And I'd like to see that gap made smaller, because I think children in the city really need to have that connection to nature that children in rural areas have.
All right, we'll get to your phone calls in just a second here. In the news recently has been this controversy over having a job fair at City Hall. The mayor and City Hall hosted Uber and then Lyft. They had a big banner, Uber Rocks, and she talked about Uber and Lyft being fun, a good way to make money, good place to find work. There is apparently going to be at least a review by the Ethics Board about that. And I wonder if you had any issues with that.
If they're going to do something like that, then they should do it for everyone, not just a specific few who support certain parties or certain peoples in the party. Many small businesses exist in Rochester that I think that the city of Rochester government should support in the same way, but they should do it across the board. They shouldn't just do it for some and not for others.
By the way, of all people, I should have pointed out that there is a movie theater called the Little Theater in Rochester. So
yes.
we have the Little.
Yes.
We don't have zero theaters, right?
There's no, I love the Little Theater and the movies that they show.
All right, but you were saying you remember when there were more movie theaters.
Yes.
And our next caller just wants to point out that, you know, the Little's there. What else, Megan? Go ahead.
I just wanted to say that there is the Little Theater that has just had some renovations done. Also, the cinema is in downtown Rochester, which is another movie theater. And there's also two grocery stores, Hart's Grocery Store and also Abundance Grocery Store. And Abundance just relocated and opened a brand new, much larger grocery store. So I just wanted to point that out, that there are grocery stores and movie theaters in downtown Rochester. And as far as there needing to be a mall in downtown Rochester, I live in downtown Rochester. I don't want a mall in downtown Rochester. I don't want to have people that, you know, need to come to downtown Rochester to go to a mall. So, yeah, I think that there's, you know, there's grocery stores, there's movie theaters, there's tons of events that happen in downtown Rochester that bring people to Rochester. So I just wanted to point that out.
All right. Megan, thank you for the phone call. Abundance Co-op's new location on South Avenue in the South Wedge. I was in there. In fact, I saw another mayoral candidate, Alex White, in there when I happened to be in there. Mm-hmm. So Abundance is there, Hearts, of course, and then a couple of theaters. But let me just kind of frame it this way then. She's mentioning a couple movie theaters and a couple of grocery stores. Big city, is that enough?
Well, first of all, we have to recognize the fact that the movie theaters and the shopping or the markets that are here in Rochester are not, they're not really open to all of the community in Rochester. The Little Theater is a wonderful place, but the movies that they show don't attract young people.
Just because there's no Michael Bay, everything blows up? Come on.
I don't even know who that is.
Okay.
No, but what I'm saying
is, kids can eat broccoli too.
Yes, they can,
saying.
And we should see more of those things in all neighborhoods, not just the more wealthy neighborhoods in Rochester. And we have to be aware of that. We have to be cognizant of that these grocery stores and movie theaters are attracting a certain group of people and not all of the people. And as far as there being a mall in Rochester, that's not what I meant. What I meant was shopping opportunities. We had a Neisner's. We had a Woolworths. I meant shopping opportunities where people don't have to get on the bus, ride for an hour in order to buy clothing. These small little clothing stores that we have are high priced and actually keep people ensconced in poverty.
Let me go ahead and read a comment from a listener named Elvis, who Boy, when Rachel Barnhart was on this program, we had similar comments, and here it is. He says, your mayoral candidate, Ms. Thomas, would do well to present a more positive attitude. Her tone makes her difficult to listen to. I feel like I'm missing the substance of her ideas because of it. But he says, I'm not the tone police, so Elvis, man, you sort of are the tone police with a comment like that. I mean, and look, I mean, everybody responds differently to different things, but Elvis is apparently having a hard time listening because of tone. So you want to address that?
Well, the thing is, Elvis, when you're asked how you feel about a certain subject, you have to respond honestly and not really be concerned with whether or not you turn some people off or turn some people on. So I respond honestly, and if I'm difficult to listen to, then I apologize for that. But you can listen to something else or someone else.
Blame the host here, because I'm the one asking the questions and you're responding. So let me tee up a question that might be down Elvis's wheelhouse. What do you love about Rochester?
I love Rochester. I love everything about Rochester. I'm a lifelong liver in Rochester. I love where I live. I live on Hayward Avenue, right up the street in the ghetto, in the Crescent, just outside the Crescent, excuse me. But I've traveled all over, and I've always loved coming home to Rochester, and that's why I'm running for mayor of Rochester, because I know that Rochester can be better. I know that we can have a better police force. I know that we can have safer communities. I know that we can have a stronger small business community in Rochester. I know that we can have a better Main Street that doesn't that's not littered with empty properties. We can do so much more for the people in Rochester than we have been doing. Instead of bringing people outside into people, we need to be working with the people that already live here and make Rochester so much better than it is right now.
It's a beautiful day and you want to read a book. What's your favorite little spot in Rochester?
Seneca Park. I love, as a matter of fact, I go there, I hike there, I take pictures there. There's a little known path as you get out of the park where they dump the elephant dung, and it just grows just tremendous amounts of flowers.
Well, that's a good fertilizer, huh?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. You can just find just about anything growing there.
Yeah.
You know, so there's really nothing about Rochester. I think Rochester is the greatest big little town in New York State and actually in the country.
You mentioned Main Street, and you want to see Main Street really flourish.
Yes.
Would you have considered a casino on Main Street,
no,
as was discussed? No?
No, 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 no. There are so many things that we can, so many positive things that we can put in Rochester. I'd love to be able to connect with the owner of Nick Tahoe's and just rehab that building. That's such a beautiful building that we can do so many wonderful things with instead of having it empty like it is. They're tearing down the old Staub's Cleaners building, which I think is horrible, but you know, you have to sometimes make room for new things. I'm glad they didn't tear down the Armory. That's another beautiful building. We have a lot of history in Rochester that I don't think that we're taking advantage of, that I'd like to see rehabbed instead of torn down. But Main Street, we can do so much more with.
And a Mayor Lori Thomas would not have been even entertaining the idea of a casino.
Not at all. Not at all. For so many reasons.
What's at the top of that list?
Top of the list, alcohol and gambling problems that exist in that type of arena. You know, we already have too many problems of that nature here.
All right, let me grab a phone call. This is Brianna in Rochester. Next up with mayoral candidate Lori Thomas. Go ahead, Brianna.
Hi. I was just calling kind of, I guess, as a response to a previous caller about the movie theaters and the grocery stores in downtown Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
So my comment was that although there are those places, the kind of clientele maybe that they attract aren't doesn't reflect all of Rochester. Like, let's say someone who maybe lives in poverty, are they going to feel comfortable to go down and use their WIC checks and their food stamps at Hart's Grocers? Or they're probably going to feel awkward when they first walk in and feel not as welcome. And I think that's what the mayoral candidate was kind of pointing to, as opposed to, like, there are those options, but maybe they appeal to people who can afford them.
Okay. Thank you, Brianna. You want to add to that, Lori?
I agree, and I think you said it very eloquently. Thank you.
You just want to co-sign on that comment. By the way, Amy in Brighton wanted to call in and say that she was bothered by a previous listener, Elvis's comment about Lori's tone. She says comments like that in general are sexist. And Benjamin on Twitter says, her tone is great and her demeanor is even better. She's measured and clearly knowledgeable and passionate about Rochester. So,
thank you very much.
our guest is Lori Thomas, who's running for mayor of Rochester. I mentioned you're a retired school teacher, but I don't think that that's giving all of your work background enough credit. So before we get our only break of the hour, let me do this. Why don't I just ask you, why don't you give our listeners who are still getting to know you a snapshot of your career?
Well, my career... I spent 18 years collecting refuse for the city of Rochester. I started working for the city under the CETA program, and I worked with the security program. City used to have its own security, and this was just about the time when we were closing Edison Tech and a few other school buildings, and the security department put officers in there. So that's where I began, and then I moved over to property maintenance, and then eventually ended up in the refuse department through some kind of different kind of ways, and was basically the first female to collect refuse for the city.
What was that like?
I loved it. I loved it. I'm from the country. I love driving trucks. So, and collecting garbage was like a treasure hunt every day for me. And if it had not been for health reasons, I probably would have retired from there instead of from teaching. But being that it's a young man's game, or a young person's game, I should say, I was led in a different direction.
And you taught for how long?
I taught for 17 years, and I loved that as well. It was totally different. It bothered me that I had to take a cut and pay, $10,000 cut and pay, in order to be a teacher of children than a collector of garbage. And I think that's a statement of our society. A very poor statement of our society, that we don't care enough about our children's education. We care more about our garbage being collected.
Lori Thomas is my guest for the hour. Let's get that only break. We're going to talk about education, her thoughts on education. There's been a lot that the mayoral candidates across the board have said on this issue, and we'll talk about that. When we come back, she's got a lot to say on veteran services as well. Talk more about job creation and how she views the role of the mayor of Rochester in doing that, and policing, community relations as well, has been high on her list. So those are some of the things we're going to talk about coming up. If you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK. That's toll-free. 844-295-8255 or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. And let me tell you what's coming up Friday on the next Connections. It's Unleash the Pet Show. We're talking all about cats tomorrow. We're going to visit Lollipop Farm to learn about the cat adoption process. And Dr. Eileen Adamo from the Cat Doctors in Penfield will be in studio answering your questions. In our second hour, when you hear the theme music on NPR shows, there's a good chance those tunes were composed by our guest, BJ Lederman. Lederman has released a new album. We'll talk to him about his music, what it's like to compose for public radio, and how he broke the mold with his work. That's tomorrow.
A congressional charity baseball game is going forward even after five people were shot as GOP lawmakers practiced.
An attack on one of us is an attack on all of us.
I'm Ari Shapiro, the latest on the shooting and the shooter, this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Ray Ray on Twitter says, a question for mayoral candidate Lori Thomas. How can the future of Parcel 5 at Midtown work for all of the city?
Well, I've given Parcel 5 a great deal of thought. And one of the things I would like to see if RBTL does get in there is a connection with SOTA. I would like to see an outreach program much like the Eastman School of Music has. They have a community outreach. As a matter of fact, my youngest son was part of that, and he received saxophone lessons for free because he auditioned, and they said, wow, you have perfect embouchure, and he received free tutoring through that. And I'd like to see something like that working with Rochester Broadway Theater League. But I think arts is such an important part of our culture that it needs to be accessible to everyone, first and foremost, our children.
All right, Gail in Rochester on the phones is next up. Go ahead, Gail.
Hi, Laura, nice to talk to you. I just wanted to say, like what you were saying about stores before, how they weren't enough inexpensive stores in the city, and I'm thinking, well, you know, that's a general problem. I mean, where are there inexpensive clothing stores? I don't think there's too many of them, you know, new clothing. Now, I go shopping at Goodwill on Clinton, and people of my lower middle class income cannot afford, you know, brand new clothing. You know, you could go to Marshall's or something like that, but there aren't too many family-owned inexpensive clothing stores, so I just want to put that out there. I don't think that's really logical thinking to think that there's going to be those kind of stores in the city.
Okay. Well, let's let Lori respond there. Go ahead.
Well, I think that what we should look at is the opportunity to have those types of stores in downtown and to maybe co-lease some of the empty buildings to stores that are family-owned, maybe consignment shops, that sort of thing. But to just leave big buildings that are downtown empty when we can fill them full of these types of stores where, like, flea market situations, I think is not being visionary in what we can do to help the community that isn't quite as wealthy in the downtown area.
Malcolm wants to know what party line Lori is running on.
I am an independent. And I'd like to say that there are people out there telling others that I'm a Republican. Not at all. Independent all of my voting life.
Independent. Robert wants to know, he says, what is your guest stance on marijuana? Illegal, medical only, or full legalization?
Well, that's another thing that I have. If the governor agrees that marijuana has medical properties, why is it only the government can sell it? That just doesn't make sense to me. I think it should be legalized, and I think it should be on a case-by-case situation. If you have someone doing something illegal and they're high, just like when they're driving while intoxicated, it can be taken care of. I don't think that we in America should allow so many laws that restrict our freedoms on such important issues.
All right, Robert, thank you for that. And let me just get back to Twitter. There were a couple of other questions. Eric wants to know, says, Evan, can you ask your guest why homeownership is so important given the number of zombie houses and abandoned properties already in Rochester?
Exactly. Homeownership is important in order to increase our tax base so that we can take back control of our school district. There are so many zombie properties and there are so many vacant lots that they decrease the tax base, and so, and because of that, we are under the control of the state through the Big Five. When we increase home ownership, when we take care of those zombie properties, when we create ordinances that say if your property is empty and fallow for 3 years or more, then we're going to take it back through eminent domain, we tell that homeowner, you have to take care of your property. You can't just leave it go. You have to reinvest in your property. You can't just take money out of it and not put anything back into the city. So there are things that we can do to, as a matter of fact, I was just saying we received $10 million grant to take care of some of those zombie properties and empty lots, community gardens, hydroponic gardens. There are so many things that we can do with those properties that help people become self-sustaining homeowners, that we can turn this around, take back our city, take back our school board.
You mentioned your career in education. You taught for how long again?
17 years.
17 years. I know you have a lot to say about education. One of the things that came up earlier this week when we had candidate Rachel Barnhart on the program was a listener wanted to know, how do you get to a point where we get out of the cycle where young families, you know, maybe a young couple is living in Rochester, and then children become school age, and what do? They move to the suburbs. That's a cycle that we see often, and we heard candidate Rachel Barnhart say that she would hand sell to neighborhoods the need to stay, that she would really get actively involved, that she would try to work with the value on getting entire neighborhoods to commit to that. And I wonder, first and foremost, how you address that question from the same listener. Can we get to a point where it's not time to leave when the kids are school age?
The only thing that we can do, and I have my children in private school. I'm going to be very honest mm-hmm. about that. I tried public schools. It just wasn't working for my children.
What wasn't working?
The discipline.
Too much, too little?
Too little. Too little. The disrespect. Of education, of the process of education, of teachers, not necessarily by children and parents, but by administration. So many teachers who try to move outside the box and teach to the child come under the fire of administration because it's teach to the test, teach to the test. And when you have 83% of your district is failing, you don't have school choice in Rochester. Okay, you have choice between the lesser of two evils, and that's not a choice that a parent should have to make when they're dealing with their child's education. Okay, until we come out from underneath that big five, until we take our school board back, there's no reason to become involved in the district. You can't make any decisions as far as budget. You can't make any decisions as far as policy. That's all up to the school board. So going to neighborhoods and convincing them to go to school board meetings,
Or send their kids to school.
Or send their kids to school. It's a frustrating situation. I have gone to school most of my 17 years as a teacher. I went to school board meetings just to be ignored. So why would a parent go? Why would you even go to a board meeting? Why would you even take that time to go to a board meeting when they've already made up their mind as to what they're going to do? So that whole door-to-door neighborhood thing wouldn't really work. What we have to do is work together as a community to take our school board back so that we can make decisions like they do in Fairport, Pittsford, Penfield, because they are elected from the community. That school board is not they're not paid to do what the state tells them to do.
And what's it going to take to get there then? If you're elected mayor, is there something you can do to change that?
Once again, increase home ownership, increase the tax base, fight in Albany for our freedom.
Lori Thomas, my guest, running for mayor of Rochester. Online where, by the way? Where can people learn more about you? Oh, you've got it. She already gave me the card. That was my... Thank you, Lori. ThomasForMayor.wordpress.com. And Thomas4Mayor is the number four. ThomasForMayor.wordpress.com. You came ready to give me that card. I was just not ready to do my part. Thank you for that. Back to the phones. Wes and Honeyway next. Go ahead, Wes.
Hey, Ms. Thomas, how are you? My question to you is... If you become mayor, you have to hit the road really hard, and you have to put a team together. Can you specifically give us a name of someone in Rochester or New York State that you would like to have on your team to help you with your agenda? I'll take my answer off the phone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Wes.
Well, Wes, thank you very much. And what I'd like to do is work with the candidates that are running for mayor once I become mayor. I think that quite a few of them have some great ideas, and there's no reason to reinvent the wheel.
You're not allowed to say that about your political opponents. Just no, you can't do that.
I can't do that. Okay.
Yeah, but no, that's nice there. So, okay, so continue. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. So, yes, I think I would work with individuals who are already working on the same situations and the problems in Rochester that I'm working with, and community members as well.
Wes, thanks for the phone call. Listeners, if you want to join the conversation, 844-295-TALK. It's toll-free, 844-295-8255. Or 263-WXXI if you're in Rochester, 263-9994. This is our second round of interviews with candidates for mayor of Rochester. We archive them online. We think it's a great opportunity for you to hear candidates at length on a wide range of issues. Our questions, your questions, their views. No reason that anybody should go to vote without a long, sort of wide-ranging discussion. And we aim to give you that at Connection. So we're glad to have Lori Thomas, who is running as an independent for mayor of Rochester, not a Democrat and also not a Republican.
Absolutely.
She's eager to point out. She's running as an independent. Sarah wants to know on Twitter, how does the candidate feel about moving to a countywide or centralized schools as a desegregation tool?
I believe in neighborhood schools. Where a person chooses to live is where they should choose to send their child to school. One of the biggest aspects of student achievement is parental involvement. You can't be involved in your child's education when you have to take two buses to get to their schools or when you have three children all going to different schools. Neighborhood schools are what make education successful, not socioeconomic status. I think one of the things I've heard is that we need to have a socially economically diverse school system. And that's kind to me. It's disrespectful to teachers who are dedicated to the profession because it's saying if we have wealthier children in our classrooms, we will teach better. Once again, disrespectful to me. There was a program that offered teachers more money for teaching in certain areas. Again, disrespectful. That's saying that I can be bought. Dedicated teachers can't be bought.
But what if that's just pragmatic? What if that says in the way the current reality is, we have plenty of inequality.
Mm-hmm.
We have plenty of schools that are struggling because they may be high poverty areas. There may be a lot of absence. There may be, you know, students struggling for a number of reasons, problems at home, drug problems, all kinds of different issues. And maybe what that says is right now there's a high turnover rate. And when good teachers are in those districts, when any teachers are in those schools, their desire is maybe to be somewhere else the next year. But by paying them more, pragmatically, we keep them there or we attract others. Is there something wrong with that?
Yes, because we're saying that those same conditions don't exist in the suburbs where you have, I believe it's the Hilton area that has one of the highest methamphetamine problems in the area. So when we say that, you know, our children in the city have more or worse problems than our children in the suburbs do, that's really it's harming children in the suburbs because we're not recognizing that they have situations in their lives that they're having problems dealing with as well. So we have to open education to look at the gifts and talents of all children and not just say, well, poverty is the issue. Children aren't impoverished. Their parents are, but children aren't. There are issues that we have to deal with our children, both in the city and in the suburbs. And great teachers, dedicated teachers, know how to deal with those situations, regardless of where they teach.
Rebecca emails the program, and I don't know the context of the question. I will simply read the entirety of her email. She says, can you ask your guest, why are poor people poor?
Why are poor people poor? Poor people are poor because they don't have the opportunities that are offered to individuals who are wealthy. They are not given the respect that people who are wealthy are given. As a matter of fact, a study recently came out that said teachers look at poor children with a different eye than they look at wealthy children. Our society has said that poor people, I grew up poor, and I think that I had a better relationship with family members because we had to be more close-knit because there wasn't a lot to go around, so we had to share more. So I don't think that being poor is necessarily a problem, first of all. Second of all, I don't think that a person who is poor is less well off than a person who is wealthy. There are problems and at every social economic level. It's the way we think of poverty and people who are in poverty as a society that causes the problem. It causes not only the wealthy to look at the poor or so-called poor differently, and it causes people who do not live like the wealthy to see themselves as different.
Lori Thomas is our guest, and veteran services was high on your list of priorities. Tell me about what you would do as mayor.
Well, once again, the Tiny Homes Project for Veterans. My son, my youngest son, suffers from post-traumatic stress syndrome. He doesn't do well in large areas, large living areas. He doesn't do well around lots of people. And I'm finding that many vets that I talk to, that I've spoken with, have the same situation. They're more comfortable in smaller areas, living in smaller areas. They feel more safe living in smaller areas. So that tiny house is more conducive to their needs and giving them the ability to garden, to farm in the hydroponics greenhouse, connecting them to nature. It calms them. It gives them a purpose, and it gives them the ability to sustain themselves. So we're not treating our veterans, I don't believe, with the respect that they deserve. They may not, you may not agree with the military, but it exists in the individuals that commit themselves to the military do so with the greatest of intent to protect our freedoms. And we do have a lot of freedoms to protect in America.
You're hearing Lori Thomas. You can learn more about her positions in more detail at thomasformayor.wordpress.com and the number 4, thomasformayor.wordpress.com. Last time you were here, there were some listener questions about policing and how we should review police action. You had some, I think, some tough things to say about that. And right now that's part of the ongoing debate in this city. Civilian review, how should we be handling these matters? How should we?
Well, I have endorsed the Police Accountability Board. I don't think that police should assess and adjudicate other police officers. I think that the police union, just dealing with the teachers union and how they handle the situation, I can imagine that the police union handles the situations the same way. We as a society have to stop protecting people we know are doing wrong. We have to extract them. I'm not saying that the person is wrong, but maybe that person shouldn't be a police officer if they don't respect the position that they're in. We have a police force now that is not there to protect and serve all citizens, but to some of them. We have a very good police force in Rochester. I have worked with the police force, but there are officers that should not be officers. It's as simple as that. We have officers who don't understand that first and foremost, they are role models. They should obey the law more than anyone else, because they are there to uphold the law, to protect and serve citizens who are affected by those who don't observe the law. So when you see an officer breaking the law, you don't have respect for that officer. When you see an officer circumventing the law, you don't have respect for the law. And we can't create a safe society when there's no respect for the law.
So no police reviewing police. Who should review police?
Citizens and police should review. It shouldn't be one-handed.
Okay, it shouldn't be just police reviewing police.
Right.
Okay. And do you get the sense that that kind of a system would be amenable to the RPD?
I, if I can be perfectly blunt, wouldn't care. It needs to happen.
Are you worried about how that would impact your relationship as mayor with RPD, or you don't care?
I believe that when you show respect to individuals, you get respect from individuals, whether or not you agree on issues or not.
Do you think that, as you said, you think RPD has very good people working for RPD, and it sounds like you think the vast majority are very good people.
The vast majority are.
Okay. Is it your concern that when there is a problem, when an officer missteps in whatever fashion, that the knee jerk is just to defend no matter what?
Exactly.
You do feel that way?
Yes. Yes. And it's a union's responsibility to protect its members. I understand that. But once again, we have a responsibility to say this may not be the best job for you because you don't seem to want to uphold the law. You're not a bad person. This is just a bad position for you.
Almost out of time, at about 90 seconds left, and I just want to make sure we circle back to one issue. We've talked in some ways about jobs and job creation in this city, but I just want to ask our guest more broadly. Lori, how do you view the mayor's role in job creation in Rochester, and what else do you think can be done if you're the mayor?
I believe that outreach is one of the things that a mayor should do. Reach out not just to corporations that come in and offer them tax breaks, but reach out to the businesses that are already here. Once again, Nick Tahoe's beautiful building. We can create jobs through opening that up to, well, okay, I'm just going to throw it out there. I would love to see an indoor bike park there. Okay, where families can take their, have a restaurant to go to, have biking to go to. One of the wonderful gifts that a child receives at Christmas time is a bike. But you can't ride that bike until April or May, generally. I mean, there have been times when you can. So what do? You take it to the bike park, you have them assemble the bike, and you have a place for the family to ride. We have to recognize that Rochester is cold a lot. Rochester is rainy a lot, so the indoor activities are more important than, and more viable, let's say, not important, but more viable than outdoor activities. So we can increase not only Rochester's persona, but our job situation when we open up our minds to certain things that can create those opportunities.
Lori Thomas mentioned at the outset that it's been frustrating to hear other candidates for mayor sort of dismiss some candidates in the race, people like you. And last time we talked, you told me you're going to win.
Absolutely.
You're going to win.
Absolutely.
You're in this to win it.
Absolutely. I don't start at something that I think I'm going to lose.
Well, you can learn more at thomas4mayor.wordpress.com. Thomas, the number 4, mayor.wordpress.com. I assume we're going to do a round 3 eventually. We'll see you back here.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Always glad to have you. That's Lori Thomas, who is running for mayor of Rochester. This is our second round of interviews with the candidates for mayor. Always great to get your questions as well. Our thanks to engineer Rob Braden and producer Megan Mack. I'm Evan Dawson. Hope you have a nice afternoon. And we will talk to you Friday on member-supported public radio.